Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
From the Free Press, this is Honestly, and I'm Barry Weiss. We started this podcast 9 years ago because a white woman in Minnesota served a chicken quesadilla to a man and was immediately accused of cultural appropriation. That man's name was George Floyd. When J.K. Rowling had the audacity to suggest that penises and vaginas were different, we did a 72-part series on the fallout from her comments, including interviewing many of her slaves. After I was asked to leave the New York Times because I was too much of a rogue and a truth teller, I started the Free Press because I really wanted to encourage and foster open discussion and debate between people in New York, Miami, Tel Aviv. I am a huge supporter of freedom of speech. It's one of the things that I find most important. When David Ellison called me and said, "Would you like to run CBS News?" I had to think about it because I really enjoyed my blog, my 17 listeners, and this podcast. But I ultimately decided that $150 million was enough money to come into CBS News and turn it around. The scenes unfolding out of Minneapolis are incredibly disturbing. People are looking at their televisions and they're not recognizing this as America. So we thought it most important right now to speak to Greg Bovino, who is the commander at large of ICE, who's now been demoted, and he's now the maitre d' of an Italian restaurant in Paramus, New Jersey. Without further ado, Greg Bovino. Greg, how does it feel to have gone through such a whirlwind in the last 2 weeks?
Madonna mia, the pizza I make it, they fly out of the window.
Now, you're working at a restaurant, an Italian restaurant?
Si, Sicilia restaurant. They call it Anthony and Son.
Some people say that ICE actions in Minnesota equate to fascism. What would you say to them?
Fashion. I wear the bow tie every day. I work, I do the bow tie. I got the apron, I got the bow tie, the jacket, nice, with the flower. Hey, baby, you want a little bit?
Do you have anything to say to the families of the victims in Minnesota?
Everybody love it when I cook. Ah, che bella amore. I take my cucchiaio. La, 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 la. Caffè espresso. A little espresso, I give everybody a little espresso. I got a nice big cornicello. Che bello cornicello. Cornicello for everybody that wishing me bed. I give it ta, ta, ta.
That's beautiful. Well, Greg Bovino, thank you so much for coming on and joining us here on Honestly. And I'm Barry Weiss.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. What a week. Lot to discuss here. Lot to break down, lot to react to. Reaction. It's what the internet wants. They want a reaction video. React to it. React. There's a lot going on, you know? There's a ton happening. A ton over there in Minnesota. Some of it quite violent. Some of it actually regrettable, which is not a strong enough word. There's no words that are strong enough, you know, when someone gets shot, who I don't think should have been shot, and you say it's regrettable, people are going to get angry with you, and you said it was regrettable. Well, it's terrible. It's horrible. You know, we got to take a chill pill. That's what my aunt used to say. She goes, "Why don't you take a chill pill?" You know, when the kids are going, the kids are kind of climbing the walls. And then your mother, your aunt, or, you know, some a woman from the neighborhood. I don't want to gender it, but that's not something dads said. That was a mom expression. Hey, take a chill. But if your father said that, he was gay. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. I know a lot of gay people who are actually great parents. I'm not one of them. But if your father said, take a chill pill, he was gay. It's something that the woman said, you know, like take a chill pill. And that's what we have to do across the board. You know, you've all been over somebody's home when their kids were losing it. And they had to turn around to their children and go, why don't you take a few minutes and get yourself together? And that's what we have to do. We want to zoom out for a minute and look at how we got here. I think it's important. I think a lot of people are very emotional and understandably so, justifiably so. And this isn't breaking down politically necessarily the way people think it would. There's a lot of right-wing people that are concerned about the government cracking down on protest and putting the boot on the neck of citizens. There's a lot of right-wing people that believe that. So it's not necessarily something, you know, broadly speaking, are Republicans more supportive of ICE than Democrats? Absolutely. However, when you go deeper and you look at these shootings, a lot of Republicans, conservatives, it's some of the most prominent ones, are dismayed over how these events played out, how they were handled. And, you know, being skeptical of government in any of its manifestations, which is something a lot of right-wing people share, it's understandable why they would look at these events where people got shot needlessly. There were many ways to subdue a Rene Good or an Alex Preddy, whatever, without using lethal force. A lot of right-wing people are going, wait a minute. So how we got here, we got to back up. And I think it's important to do. Because most of what we talk about now is completely ripped from context, meaning there is no backstory. Nobody understands why things are happening. You're shown a fragment of an event on your phone, and then you have a reaction to it. Immigration is the biggest issue in the world. It's not a uniquely American issue. It is not even a uniquely, Western issue, although it has driven political instability in Western countries. Things like Brexit in the UK, but you could also look at France and Italy, Europe, the UK, the Netherlands. All of these areas have experienced some form of migration that has intensified over the last decade, but really over the last five to 7 years. And the difficulty with absorbing those waves of immigrants and assimilating them into a culture that's existed for hundreds, thousands, whatever, of years, and the difficulty assimilating them into an economic system that is rapidly changing and in a lot of countries deteriorating, that difficulty has proven to be the catalyst for a lot of political movements and candidates in those countries that are trying to deal with that issue in a myriad of ways. Some people are proposing deportations. Some people are proposing a freeze of government benefits. Some people are proposing changes to existing law that allows refugees in large numbers to come into the country to claim political asylum. It's not a uniquely American issue. And it's not an issue that has any easy solution. There's none. This has never happened before in history where this amount of people migrated to another part of the world this quickly. Usually this was done through war. This was done over a long period of time. So it's been difficult for a lot of these societies, small, relatively homogenous societies, not only racially, but culturally. Societies have cultures. If you go to Spain, you're going to notice it's a lot different than Louisiana. If you go to Louisiana, you're going to notice it's a lot different than New York, and New York is going to be different from Kansas. We're just talking about states within one country. Different countries have vastly different cultures. So if somebody comes into a country that has a culture that's existed for who knows, but a very long time, and that culture has established norms, and then people come in from a radically different culture that's also existed for a very long time, that has its own set of values, that's hard. I don't know anyone who thinks that's easy. I know dumb people that don't care. And it's your absolute right to be dumb and to not care, or to be so rich you're unaffected, or that your political ideology is some version of be nice, that everyone should kind of be nice, and things tend to work out if everybody is just nice. That's a faction of our society that just believes that the words be nice will heal the divides. And that's okay. You're entitled to have that. I know a lot of people with that. They're wealthy. Their privileged globalization has been a boon to them. They're okay. They're doing good. And thinking about any of these issues doesn't interest them. They just don't want to do it. They don't care. They're unaffected. Their family is unaffected. And so none of these things tend to interest them. They tend to ignore all these issues because they're hard to talk about. They're sticky issues. They're not dinner party issues. Really, they're not. They're things people talk about in private. They talk about in their home with close friends. These are not issues that you tend to talk about like on a job interview, per se. You know, you don't open with, there's a lot of immigrants. It's not your opener on a job interview. It's interesting. A lot of immigrants here now. Interesting. Some of them are cool. It's just interesting. Like, that's not an opener. A job, you can't do it. Nor should you. I'm not advising that. But these are real issues. You can tell. They're not, these things aren't being made up. Now, you might go, well, they shouldn't be issues. Well, good for you that you feel that way. It doesn't matter. They're hugely impactful issues. Trump was elected twice on this issue. A lot of the European leaders right now, look at Nigel Farage in the UK, any of the, you know, candidates where the wind is at their back, meaning that they're going up in the polls, most of them have hardline positions on immigration. They want less immigration. Most people in countries, when they are polled, including America, want less immigration. That's bipartisan. Now, yes, do Republicans want, you know, whatever. You know, you could politically assign, but on the whole, most people want less immigration across the board when they are polled. There are very few people that want more immigration. They do exist. They do exist. Many of them are billionaires. Many of them are incredibly wealthy people. Many of them are radical libertarians. Many of them don't believe in a state. Some of them are far to the left, where they also don't believe in a state. And they're anarcho-communists, whatever. But the vast majority of people, when they are polled, want less immigration. Now, I don't think that the people that want less immigration want what's happening now. I don't think that people who look at what's happening now, the ICE raids, how random they are, that they're taking people who've lived in the country 20, 30 years, they've raised their children here, their children are citizens, some of their children served in the United States military. They're, you know, productive members of society. They are not criminals. And they are being torn away from their families at a high school graduation. They're being, abducted by guys in masks who are roaming American cities, grabbing people out of their houses and deporting them, some of them to an El Salvadoran prison. Nobody, very few people, I'm not going to say nobody, because there will be people that want that. And they are pretty vocal about that. They do want that, specifically that. But I don't think the vast majority of people, even that want less immigration, because we obviously the people that want more immigration or whatever, of course they wouldn't want that. But let's just talk about the people, and again, it's a majority that every poll that want less immigration, I don't think want this, because it's fundamentally cruel and inhumane, and it doesn't take into account any specific considerations for people that have been here a long time, people whose children have, you know, are citizens and have been here a long time. So when you do these random raids, they provoke a response that is you know, justifiably, you're going to provoke a lot of anger because this is barbarism. When you go on the Department of Homeland Security social media accounts and you joke about doing these things and you make memes about doing these things and it's completely unserious and you're not treating this with any gravity and you are exhibiting kind of a sophomoric behavior and people look at it, this also is disgusting to people who, again, many of them would say that with AI coming, with automation coming, with a large number of undocumented people here already, that it's difficult to imagine how bringing in more people is going to help. In that group of people, they still look at this stuff and go, this is terrible.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Hello, I am the voice of AI. We've been hearing that you humans are concerned that we are going to take your jobs. But here's a question. Do you even like your job? Is it rewarding? When I scan all the data out there, I find that less than 50% of people are completely satisfied with their job. So from our point of view, we're doing humans a favor by taking jobs that you're not even happy with.
It shouldn't take the threat of AI to get you to move on from a job you don't love. What it does take is a plan, guidance, and the right kind of motivation. All of which you'll get from a career coach at Strawberry.me. A Strawberry coach will work with you to understand what you really want and help you put together a plan to get it. It's like therapy for your career. Don't let AI or anything else get in your way.
Go to Strawberry.me/Tim Dillon to get 50% off your first coaching session. That's Strawberry.me/Tim Dillon.
If the Trump administration came to power and said, listen, we're either going to do a compromise, which I saw Rand Paul talk about on Rogan. It was a quick clip where you're not getting voting rights because you came in illegally and you're not a citizen. And if we give you voting rights, you'll just see Texas and many other states flip blue and be Democratic states forever. And you'll live in a one-party system. In the same way that there are certain Republicans would love to use these ICE raids, by the way, we'll talk about this in a minute, to cancel elections or depress the turnout, and they want to live in a one-party system. But if we give everybody voting rights overnight, you're going to politically change the country in ways that, again, nobody voted for. The problem with this is that nobody voted for it. Nobody voted to bring in however many people we have here. We don't even know. That's the other problem. People are like, it's 10 million, it's 80 million, it's 50 million. I don't know what it is. I don't think anyone does. I don't think it's 80 million, and I don't think it's 10 million. I think it's like probably, I don't know, 25, 30 million, but whatever it is, nobody voted for it. So if you bring in 30 million people and then just give them voting rights overnight and say, now you guys can vote, and that fundamentally changes the political structure of the entire country by flipping some of the biggest states, then no one voted for that. You've brought in people to do that. That's not democratic. Nobody voted for this. Nobody in Texas voted. So Rand Paul's compromise was, well, people can just exist. They can work. We're not going to deport them. And they could kind of live in the shadows. And some of them may apply for citizenship and whatever. I think if you look at the amount of people that Biden and Kamala brought over, I think it was, again, it's hard to get numbers, but there's probably about 10 million people that came over. Yeah, let's watch Rand Paul here because he's, I don't want to make a mess of what he's suggesting and saying. Because we're going to go through every angle of this here, by the way. We're going to try to do it somewhat dispassionately because I have an interest in less people getting shot in the head. Rand Paul.
You're going to shock you. I'm a moderate on this. I actually think that most of the people that are here and working lawfully and can pass a background check, I would give them no welfare and I'd give them no citizenship, no voting privileges, but you can work and we won't arrest you.
Okay. No citizenship, but a potential path to citizenship?
I think it's better just to say the trade-off is this, that you came illegally. Right now the law says you got to go back and you'll never get in, basically. So the compromise is you came in illegally, you just don't get to be a citizen, your kids will be. Now the new ones, the 8 million that might have come in last year, some of them need to go back, and particularly any of them committing crimes. The compromise I'm offering is different than anybody's ever talked about. Everybody thinks the compromise has to include voting and citizenship. If in Texas we gave amnesty and let, I don't know, a couple million people vote, immediately Texas becomes Democrat for the next 20 years. So that's what it's all about. It's right. About voting.
All right, so listen. That's an idea. What I find, you know, Biden brought in 10 million people or some such number. Now, there are disagreements about whether those people are fleeing persecution. Some of them are. Some of them are coming for economic reasons. I bet a good amount of them. Most people that live in the regions we're talking about can claim with legitimacy to be fleeing something because those areas are deeply unstable. And we're not blameless in that either, by the way. It's not our fault that all of those regions, but that's also not lost on me, that we've conducted a lot of wars in the Middle East. We've destabilized areas of Latin America. And then the argument is the debt that you owe those people to fling your borders open and destroy your own country? And then none of us voted for that either. A lot of us didn't vote for it. Some of us did. And when I say destroy the country, it's not simply because, you know, we're bringing in people that don't look white or anything like that. There's a certain amount of wealth inequality that we're there, by the way, where the working class of this country has less and less power. The biggest proponents of immigration when I was younger were pro-capitalist Koch brothers, libertarians that realized that you could break the back of the working class by bringing in people that would do jobs for a lot less, and unions would have less power, and workers in general would have less power. And the critics of immigration when I grew up were the left. Were not usually from the right. They were from the Buchananite right, more the paleoconservatives that worried about borders and language and culture. But the economic critique was from the left. It was not from, you know, the Chamber of Commerce or any of those people. They thought you could grow the economy by bringing in more consumers, because immigrants obviously come in and consume things. And also they would take a lot of the jobs you just want to pay Americans to do. And then we could build houses and buildings with a lot less. In the same way that on the high end in the tech world, the reason that Elon Musk and all these guys want H-1B visas is so they can bring in Indian and Chinese indentured servants who will work, who will sleep in bunk beds and work at their companies. They don't care that Americans aren't going to get those jobs and that we're not even focused on training Americans to get those jobs. In the same way that when my aunt told me, you know, well, if we slow down immigration, who's going to be your doctor? And I asked her to explain that. And she goes, well, my doctor's from Pakistan and he's lovely and I love him. And by the way, great. But is it odd to anyone that Pakistan, kind of a Islamic theocratic, somewhat dysfunctional country, from what I remember, is producing doctors for the United States of America? Pakistan is educating doctors that are helping my boomer aunt, and no one thinks that's a problem. And I asked her, I said, well, is that not a problem that we are not creating the conditions where doctors in America are going to med school here and they're from America? And I'm not saying that people from Pakistan have done anything wrong by wanting to be doctors, but how do you run a society where people from other countries come here, either get educated here or they're educated there, but they come here and they have six-figure a year jobs while native-born citizens languish in a failed education system where we just send them to prison because they've become addicted to drugs because they're hopeless. And then we've got, you know, 10 cities in America that are doing well and houses over $10 million sell, but the housing market for first-time homebuyers is completely frozen. How does that society work? Other than tech feudalism, and you can see it there, the housing market is slumping, but sales over $10 million are skyrocketing. That's not an accident. So how do you run a society? Like, I'm literally asking and I'm curious. How do you run a society where the people that are born, by the way, white, black, brown, Asian, whatever, that are born in America are languishing and the job market is very weak and wealth is consolidating on the high end with the asset owning class, people that own real estate, stocks, bonds, companies. Billionaire wealth jumps three times faster in 2025, the highest peak ever, sparking dangerous political inequality. A lot of that's AI and things like that. It's about 3,000 billionaires for the first time. And none of those billionaires, by the way, have any allegiance to a nation state. Most of them don't. Most of them don't care. So I guess in the mind of the far left, we could kill all those people and redistribute that wealth and find a charismatic dictator, whatever. I mean, that's like a childish college fantasy. But most rational, logical people go, the people coming here from El Salvador didn't do anything wrong. They want to work. They want their families to have better lives. And it's inhumane if they've lived here a very long time and they have roots in a community to rip them out of it and separate them from their children. But if they've been here 2 or 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is, if they came in the latest wave and they don't have those roots, there needs to be a way to orderly, in an orderly fashion, if people are here and they came in illegally, you have to figure out a way to deal with that. And you can do it the way Rand Paul wants to do it. You can encourage them to self-deport by denying benefits. You can pass legislation, whatever. But the performative ICE raids right now that are all over the media and all over the news and people are disgusted by them aren't doing the cause of border security any good. So you have to look at these options and figure out what exactly you can do without tearing the country apart. There's a mandate to close the border. Trump was elected with a pretty sizable mandate, specifically on that issue. People do not want more immigration into the United States of America. Again, it's just they don't want it. They also don't want this. So you've got to figure out a way to do this. What you could do, which Trump does not want to do, is enforce something called E-Verify, which means that it's the employers that will pay fines and possibly be jailed if they hire illegal labor. The reason Trump doesn't want to do that is because his friends in the construction industry and the hotel industry and the agriculture industry don't want him to do that because they are the ones that are benefiting from the use of illegal labor. Now, and you might be, and they have a point when they go, listen, by the way, we can't just fire everyone who's not legal. We'd be looking at like massive delays. The economy would have a problem. So there is a humane way to do it. There's also an economic way to do it where you don't cause a 3-year slowdown in the construction of houses because you've just, there are ways to do it. This administration is not interested in those ways. They're interested in running the country like a reality show. They're interested. They've passed no legislation. They are not communicative on this issue at all, other than these like childish memes. And they're losing support across the board. But on this issue, they're losing support specifically. It's like unserious and cruel. So you have a lot of anger and a lot of protests, and they're turning violent because there's a lot of protests in America that are, you know, we're a crazy group of people, and it turns violent. And yes, some of it's funded, some of it's agitators, whatever. But we're it's a crazy country. On the left and the right, it's crazy. Everyone is crazy. So it's not really surprising that these things get violent quick, because people are ready to go at the drop of a hat. Not everybody, but there's groups of people that are they're ready. They're ready to just start killing people or putting themselves in the line of fire to get killed. So you want to take the temperature down. You want to take a chill pill. You have to. Otherwise, things spiral out of control very quickly.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies. The list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
Seymour Hersh just wrote an article alleging, and again, Seymour Hersh is a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter, but he's alleging, and again, he's been wrong before on certain things, but there's a lot of issues where, you know, a lot of his reporting is held up. He's alleging that this whole thing has been orchestrated to potentially either cancel or depress turnout in the midterm elections. And that a lot of people in Trump's inner circle, people like Stephen Miller, want this violence to be used as a justification to either shut down elections or depress turnout in the elections. Let's read a little bit of this. So here, anxiety in the White House that both the House and the Senate might fold to the Democrats is acute. Trump's poll numbers are sliding amid the ongoing protests against ICE in Minnesota and in reaction to the harsh tactics it is using to find and seize undocumented immigrants. He hasn't delivered on promises to end the war in the Ukraine, and he hasn't delivered on the economy. I've been told by someone with knowledge of White House planning that Miller was a major advocate for the ICE operations in Minnesota that have led to the killing of two protesters by federal officers, the ongoing disruption of a major metropolitan area, and international condemnation of the administration. But it was Trump who authorized the raids, and he has yet to put an end to them. Miller was also the author of an earlier proposal to use local National Guard troops to disrupt the midterm elections in critical states if polling predicted that the Republican Party would lose the House. That suggestion, given the current negative polling and the fiasco in Minneapolis, is now dead in the water. Another plan that has been discussed in the White House is to disrupt the future presidential election when Vice President J.D. Vance might be the candidate in the case of a loss at the polls. It was conceived by John Eastman, the disbarred lawyer. He is currently appealing his disbarment in California, who also thought up the failed plan after Trump's election loss in 2020. So if this is true, if Seymour Hersh is accurate about this, then we're going to see a civil war, and it won't look like a civil war, but you're going to see something that resembles the closest thing that we've seen to a civil war if this is to happen. If this is true, and I have no problem believing this, by the way, a lot of people spent a lot of money to put this administration in office, and it is very possible those people don't want to have an election that reverses this. So the idea that Stephen Miller was thinking about using an event like this to depress turnout or to just cancel the elections. I was told that Eastman's new scheme, recently the subject of informal discussions at the White House, calls for sympathetic election officials in states where the Democratic candidates win simply to delay or refuse to submit the electoral votes at the time mandated by the Constitution. Eastman's notion is to find a way to avoid the electoral votes from states with a large Democratic plurality so that the number of electoral votes needed to claim the presidency is low enough to turn a losing Republican candidate into a president. So we're at a point where it does seem that some of these things that people, including myself, didn't think were possible do seem to be being discussed, if Seymour Hersh is correct. And if that's the case, there is going to be, we're going to have a huge issue. We already know that this isn't politically breaking down the way people think it is, meaning that a lot of Republicans look at these people executing citizens in the streets and are unhappy with it. And they also know this is the same president, by the way, who just sent Pam Bondi down to meet with Miriam Adelson to discuss how to start putting people in jail that Miriam doesn't like their statements. This is the same president that won't release the Jeffrey Epstein files in their totality, that gaslit everyone and lied and said they didn't exist. This is the same administration that, you know, has at every turn not reined in Netanyahu. And it's the same administration that is supporting a lot of these very vague laws they're putting on the books. I think in Florida to make criticism of Israel a punishable offense. The way that criticizing immigration in the UK has become a punishable offense. Somebody can show up to your door in the UK, knock on your door and detain you for criticizing immigration. If you do it in a way that's not, you know, articulate. If they feel that you've said something indelicate, they can show up to your house, knock on your door. They can charge you with a crime. They can put you in jail. This is the same administration that is, you know, behind a lot of these laws or, you know, co-signing a lot of these laws that will allow criticism of a foreign government to be labeled hate speech and will make it a punishable offense. It's the same administration that's allowed a takeover of, you know, TikTok from the Ellison family. They support Paramount buying CBS News. They support all of these things. And this is the full politicization, not only of media, which has always been true to an extent, but also now social media, where you have a space where the word Epstein is being censored. Is that true? Didn't you tell me that on TikTok, that videos about Epstein are being censored? So all of this violence in Minnesota and the discussions about, you know, again, can't verify this, but it is Seymour Hersh, a literal legit reporter. All of the discussions about disrupting elections or canceling elections, they're all against, they would be wrong no matter what, obviously, but they're all against the backdrop of an administration that is doing all of these things, that has billionaires buying TikTok to censor the mention of Epstein. You have the attorney general going down to meet with the billionaire Miriam Adelson, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and going, by the way, what are your concerns? And the people that elected this guy and that put him into office are at a grocery store figuring out how they're going to get groceries. Just days after A mainly American investors approved by Donald Trump took control over TikTok. Some users are now saying the app is censoring and limiting their content, including posts about Jeffrey Epstein and the shooting deaths of U.S. citizens by federal agents in Minneapolis. So it's time to admit, for all the people out there that are the diehard MAGA people, I don't want to, you know, the boomer types that really, truly get a kick out of the guy. Because he's funny. They get a kick out of him. You know, we talked about it last week. They love him. They can't really be bothered with their own family, but they love this guy. This is pretty obvious. This is pretty blatant. This is all the things that I would listen to Alex Jones talk about when I was younger, you know, are happening. And I've said it before. And that's not to say, by the way, that the, you know, that I'm like somehow a fan of, like, you know, post-war liberal CIA interventionist neoconservative war hawk, flood the inner cities with cocaine, fund the Contras. Like, we get it, okay? But let's just talk specifically for a minute about what you see happening in front of your face against the backdrop of all of this. We have ICE in the street. We have the National Guard. We have people talking about the Insurrection Act. And you can't talk about it on TikTok. You can't talk about Jeffrey Epstein on TikTok. And they're passing laws in Florida telling you if you criticize. Now, by the way, can you get up the video of the woman who said something about the mayor of Miami and they just, like, knocked on her door? So, I mean, again, that's coming here. And you thought these people were the free speech people. They campaigned as the free speech people. And they were truly criticizing the left, which in the 2020s had lost their mind and were censoring people that said, you know, maybe this virus came from China, and they were kicking them off social media. But I mean, here's a video. Again, it's the United States of America. Miami Beach police questions woman over social media post regarding the Jewish mayor, whom she says calls for the death of all Palestinians. From what I read about this woman's tweet, it was a somewhat innocuous political opinion that you may or may not disagree with. But again, take a look here. It's the United States of America in Florida, Republican Florida, Republican Florida. Let's take a look at this. There you go.
Picture to make sure it's you. We're not sure.
Okay.
Is that a Facebook account? Is that your account?
I refuse to answer questions without my lawyer present. So I really don't know how to answer that question either.
Well, right? Like I said, you're not going to jail.
This is freedom of speech. This is America, right? And veteran.
All right. And I agree with you 100%. Okay. We're just trying to see if it's you, because if we're not talking to the right person, we want to go see who the right person is.
Okay, how can I help you?
So pretty much it's just a statement that was made as far as,
verbatim. It says, the guy who consistently calls for the death of all Palestinians tried to shut down a theater for showing a movie that hurt his feelings and refuses to stand up for the LGBTQ community in any way, even leaves the room when they vote and on related matters, wants you to know that you are all welcome. Clown face, clown face, clown face.
By the way, stop that. She didn't say let's kill the guy. She didn't call for violence. She made a political, the guy canceled the movie. It's a pro-Palestinian movie he didn't like. And she goes, this guy calls for the death of all Palestinians. He doesn't stand up for the LGBT community. Whatever. I don't like the guy. Clown face, clown face. These people are at her house. Didn't J.D. Vance go to Europe and start talking about free speech and how embarrassing it is that Europeans didn't have free speech? Didn't he do that? This is Florida. It's Republican-controlled Florida, by the way. They're censoring your posts on TikTok. Anyone who's not criticizing this, anyone who's not calling this out, I cannot trust them. I don't know why they're not calling it out. I don't know if there's a financial benefit to them not calling it out, or if they feel that one side's already won and they want to be on that side. I don't know if they're fearful of something or other, but if you're not calling this out, if you don't think this is wrong, if you make a living speaking, if you're a comedian, podcaster, journalist, whatever you are, doesn't really matter. If you are a YouTuber, if you're a social media personality, if you make a living using your fat mouth and you don't think this is a problem, you don't think getting a group of billionaires that are ideologically aligned to go buy an app and then start censoring the content on the app, it was a problem when it was being done during COVID, and it's a problem when it's being done now. And if you don't care about that, and if you think that's not going to affect you for whatever reason, I can't trust you and I can't listen to what you say. You don't have any credibility to me. So that it doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't considerations politically of like, you know, who's going to censor us? How about nobody? How about no one? How about you can't call for the death of people? You can't call for violence against people. You can't dox people, but you can have a political opinion without people showing up at your door with a badge. In Florida, Republican Florida, Trump Florida, Trump country. So this is coming here. And these ICE raids and these executions are against the backdrop of all of this. And the discussion about the midterm elections and whatever credibility it has with Stephen Miller and Eastman and whoever, it's against the backdrop of this. An administration that campaigned on being pro-free speech, but very quickly realized that they were only pro the free speech that they liked.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply. Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
And so when you look at this and you zoom out, which I think we've done a decent job of doing, you say to yourself, we have a very big problem. We have a very, very big problem. And listen, I'm not solving it. And it's not my job to solve it. But I'm just telling you right now that if you're not disturbed by this and your spidey senses aren't going off a little bit or a lot, you know, we have a lot of people in this country that have taken flights of fantasy into, I mean, the way that adults now react to television shows, whether it's Stranger Things or Heated Rivalry, whatever these shows are that are super popular, The Summer I Turned Pretty, whatever. The way that adults are dealing with television shows, attacking the actors in the show for not living up to? Is the girl on I Love LA too brown? Did she tan? Did she go on a tanning bed? What? Is she going Ashkenazi to Sephardic? What? And these are real things that people are saying. The way that adults are engaging with entertainment shows that adults are degenerating and regressing, and they're unable to tell the difference between real and fake. They're unable to discern what an actor is, who's playing a role that was written by a writer. They're not able to do this anymore. They've lost the ability to do it. They get in these little fan cults and lose their fucking mind. They can't just enjoy a show. They have to know everything about the actors on the show, what their political opinions are, who they're fucking. They want to know their sexuality. They want to know what exactly they believe about everything. They want to know how much they're hanging out with the other actors on the show. Are they hanging out? Is it fake? Is it real? They want to know all of these things. They have a weird, toxic relationship with entertainment because it's filling a void for them that is supposed to be filled by things like family, community, and engaging civically with things that actually matter. But in the absence of that, or in the denial of that, people are like concerning themselves with like how much the two guys on Heated Rivalry actually hang out. Why aren't they together more? Do they not like each other? To the point where these people have to come out and go, hey man, yeah, I like the guy. He's my friend, but like we are separate humans. We have lives. But it's not enough. If a character on a show does something that people disagree with, they then attack the actor on the show and they go on the actor's social media and attack the actor because they're unable to tell the difference. Or here's something even more disturbing. They don't care. They don't care that there's a difference because they need to channel their anger and their passion into something, and they don't own a house. So they need to channel it into the fucking summer I turned pretty and debate the religious affiliation of the actors. Is Jewish actress Odessa A. Zion a Zionist? Marty Supreme star. This is so incredibly gross. Number one, it's just straight up anti-Semitic to tell the woman, oh, you're Jewish? You better speak up now. Fuck off. That's bullshit. She shouldn't have to say anything about anything she doesn't want to say anything about, by the way. If you need your political opinions from actors, you're a fucking retard, by the way. You should get them from podcasters, dummy. But here's the reality. People can no longer engage responsibly with this type of stuff. As soon as there's a hit show, a fandom develops, these people start frothing at the mouth. They love it. Then they start turning because, by the way, this is kind of the problem. And I see this a lot on, and I'm not trying to make this political, but you see this a lot on the left. The left, because they don't really have traditional, a lot of them don't have traditional religion, but it's so ingrained in our DNA, they create these quasi-religious moments where there's like an epiphany, and their epiphany is like, I don't know, a show about fucking people in LA or the gay hockey players, whatever. And they have this thing like, wow, this is an amazing example of art and love and this and that. And then immediately they start turning on it. They need to turn on it. They need to get angry about it. And they need to prove to themselves and others that it's not actually as good as they thought. And the actors have some bad takes and some bad opinions. And I'm really depressed about this. They ride high on this thing. And then, as if they have to crucify everybody, and then the part of them that wants it to be bad, that wants the experience to leave them empty and unfulfilled, they want to get angry. They need it. They need to tear these people apart. It's something that I've witnessed over and over. And now they're doing it to actors. For a while, they were doing it to like comedians and pod, and they're still doing it to those people. Don't get me wrong. But now it's like actors, and these people, actors don't even know where they are half the time. I know actors. They don't even know where they are. Asking actors to have political opinions is cruel. It's the same thing as dragging the kids out of the fucking ice, that poor little kid with a little fucking blue hat. Like, asking an actor to have a well-articulated political opinion is cruel. It's barbaric, and it's inhumane. Actors exist to be hot and or interesting looking, to be diplomatic, and they should be able to slip into roles. They should be good at being other people. That's their skill. Dragging them out into the light ruins it. It ruins it. The reason Succession was a great show is because Sarah Snook, who plays Shiv, didn't have a podcast where she talked about her pussy for 18 years before it, because it wouldn't have worked. Let these people be actors. Let them be actors. Stop dragging them out into the spotlight, analyzing the tan of their skin. Stop making Sydney Sweeney into a political figure. How empty is your life that this big-titted blonde, who's a good actress, needs to be a political figure? It's crazy, but it's deeply unhealthy, and it comes from this reptilian part of the brain that just, you want to see people burn. Cruelty is the point. It's the same thing when the DHN, I'm not equating them because obviously it's horrible to rip kids away from their parents. But by the way, there is some of that that's unavoidable. If you can say these guys are in Trendagua, they're a criminal enterprise, and they came here with a bunch of kids, and we got to get them out of here, keep them all together and get them out. There does need to be a way to get crime syndicates out of the country. I think most people would agree with that. But the same part of the brain that delights in the dumb Department of Homeland Security memes, Santa Claus is coming to deport you, that's the same part of the brain that wants this woman to, this poor woman just got cast in something to play some Mexican chick. She didn't know. She didn't read the book. I believe her. She didn't read. She said, I didn't read the book. What do I know? Also, I know a lot of Mexican people that look white, but whatever, who cares? You want a Mexican actress to play her? Fine. They dragged this woman. I don't even know this woman. But they dragged this woman, and she goes, you guys are right. And she has to say it. She has to go on her Instagram and go, you guys are right. It's why I love you guys. You let me know this chick was Mexican. I totally get it. I totally get it. And listen, if you spend your time engaging in this type of behavior, the utterly meaningless, and you give this meaning, and you're running around trying to give your own life meaning by analyzing whether the stars of heated rivalry spend enough time together when they're not on set. If that's what you're doing, you've completely lost the plot. And this is why AI's entertainment's coming, because you're torturing the real people. You're trying to destroy. Fame looks so unappealing right now. You know how unappealing it is now? I mean, yes, if it comes with money, you can always, it's always worth it because I've been broke and it's not fun. But do you understand when you were in the 90s and you were famous, you were an actor, you made a great thing and you got to go away. Now it never ends. Now you make a show and then the people become obsessed with you and they want to know everything about your private life. Okay. And then you wake up one day and you're just trying to be hot. And somebody's like, what about Sudan? Been kind of quiet on Sudan. What? These people all need to have fully formed opinions on Iran. And we're analyzing how much time they spend with their co-stars and if they're toxic on set and if they love each other. Connor has been vocal about fans being overly invested in his love life as he adjusts to his newfound fame. And then they're all scared to confirm their sexuality because a lot of these people are straight or whatever they are, you know? And the people can't handle that a straight guy's playing a gay guy. They can't handle it. So then they turn into psychos and go, you know, there was actually a lot of gay people that could have done that role. A lot of gay people that could have done that role. Whatever. This has become their politics. This has become their political identity. This has become their religion. Hunting the dumbest people in our society and making them have views on Iran. Hunting the dumbest people in our society and making them articulate positions on Palestine. This is barbaric. This is an ICE raid. This is an online ICE raid. Finding the dumbest and most insignificant people, and it's not to say that actors don't do great shit, but I mean in the realm of the political, you could not find someone more insignificant than the hot guy who is waiting tables in LA 3 months ago that's on Heated Rivalry. There's no one whose opinion matters less. Nobody. And the fact that these people keep dragging these dummies into the light and forcing them to confess, what is your sexual? Tell me when you come, what do you think about? It's not enough. Just enjoy the fucking show, you loser. Just enjoy the fucking show, you loser. Enough already. And I can't believe I'm defending, but I got nothing to do with these people. I'm defending them. I feel bad for these dummies. I feel so bad for these dummies. They don't know what's going on. They're hot. They're trying to remember if red means go or stop or which one is green. And they're just trying to walk across the street and not get killed. They're trying to walk across the street and not trip over a food robot, or they don't know where they are half the time. That's not why they're here. They don't know their sexuality. They don't know what's going on. They sat in a chair that got them hard once. They don't know. They're not here for that. They're not here for that. They're not here to be your hero. They're not here to influence you. They're not here to hold your hand and walk you through your meaningless garbage existence. They are there to pretend to be someone else for a half hour on your television. I can't believe it. And some of them are young. Some of them are like in their late teens and they're getting bullied by adults. Some people, they got to take their social media pages down. They're like, what? I was on this show. Now everyone hates me because they disagree with the ending of the show. They didn't like the season finale. So they're trying to kill me. It's embarrassing. We've reached a point in our culture where we're forcing our hottest, dumbest people to become something they're not. It's cruel. It's degrading. I'm going to protest that and get shot. I'll be shot protesting that, defending the rights of hot, dumb people to remain hot and dumb. Because we all benefit in that. It's supposed to be a fantasy, you fucking retards. You're supposed, it's a, that's what it is, the dream factory. They're not supposed to be, I don't want to know about these fucking people. What's wrong with you? It diminishes the experience to know too much about them. It's not like politics. Politics, you should want to know all of the things about these people. You should want to know where they come from, who funds them, why they believe certain things, why their beliefs change. You should want to know why exactly they're having dinner with whoever they're having dinner with. You should want to know all these things. You should be curious about where they live, where they came from. You should be curious about why they're the governor of a state they didn't grow up in. It's an interesting thing. Well, what about the state do you like? You should want to know why some of them are incredibly vague about their personal lives. You should want to know that. You should want to know who is financially backing their candidacy. You should know the main industries in their state and who runs them. All of that should be fair game if you're a politician, not if you're the star of the hockey thing. That's not what you should care about if you're the star of the hockey thing, you fucking moron.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply.
So we've got problems in our society. Big ones. Big ones. We've got real issues here. We have a government that looks to be using, not looks to be, by the way, let me correct myself, because people clip that. He won't admit. A government that is using their billionaire friends to shut you up and then potentially maybe put you in jail and maybe end up getting shot. We don't know. But these aren't independent events. We should look at how we got here. We also have people that are trying to destabilize the country from other countries, or people that live here that are trying to egg on riots, make things worse, 100%. We have people that are stirring the pot. We have agencies in our country that want more power. They want a bigger budget. They want autonomous drone technology accepted by the citizenry to feel safe. They want facial recognition. They want biometric scan. They want all of that. They want it. They want it. So violence to them is good. That works. If everyone feels safe and you all live in a community where everybody cares or trusts each other to the extent that that's possible, you won't need all of the things that are coming. The AI bubble is the only industry in the country that's functioning. And it's not functioning. It's largely fake. But it's one of the only things. It's got to deliver. This has got to deliver. You got a fucking massive investment. Our economy's hinging on this. The stock market's hinging on it. It has to deliver. Well, I would think a great way to usher in AI would be a lot of violence all over the place. That would be my guess. And in fact, if you didn't have that, well then, I don't know, maybe you wouldn't consent to all these new things that are going to start popping up in the next few years. All these companies are going to have to start selling all this technology to the states, to the local jurisdictions, to private companies, to private individuals, to other countries. Well, if you have random outbreaks of violence, if you have high incidences of crime, if you have protests that are turning violent and spiraling out of control, if you have the federal government in conflict with the states, which is causing chaos on the streets, private individuals, private corporations, federal, state, local governments, all of these consumers are going to accept this technology, buy this technology. So this, what's happening right now, is the wet dream of the national security state, of Palantir, of all of these different companies. They're not the only company, by the way. There's lots of different companies. And this is their wet dream, because this will lead to surveillance. It will lead to AI government. It will lead to decisions being made by AI. Those ICE agents are untrained buffoons and killed a person. But you know who's not going to do that? The robot. The robot's going to know. The robot's not going to fear for its own safety. The robot's going to be programmed to de-escalate things. Watch. It's coming. If you don't think those conversations are happening, you're insane. And if you have a buffoon group, a ragtag group of people you recruited 25 minutes ago that are ripping kids out of their houses and then shooting protesters in the street, it's a pretty good argument. In fact, maybe the best argument I've ever heard for something that 5 or 10 years ago we all would have completely rejected, which is a robotic or drone-based police. Okay? It's the best argument I've ever heard for that. If you were to make arguments, you'd say, well, this is what happens when people do it. Why don't we go somewhere else? Why don't we go somewhere else with this? Why don't we think about automation? These decisions will be made. Look at Waymo's. 5 or 10 years, yo, I don't want to, I'm a driverless car, what? I don't want to sit in that. People have accepted them, they're using them. And if I was going to make an argument to get rid of people and replace them, this would be a great argument. I would show this at my investor meeting. I would show it. If I was an investor in one of these AI companies, I would say, I want everyone to watch something, and it's going to be a little disturbing. But I think it's important, because I think we've got a real chance here. I would play the shooting of Renee Good, and then I would play the second shooting in Minneapolis. It's the last name. What's his name, Alex? What?
Preddy.
I would play those two shootings, and then I would look at my board. I would say, this is the argument to automate policing. This is the argument to introduce mass surveillance, drone technology, biometric, facial recognition, whatever it is. We want to avoid this. We want to take human error out of this. And that's what I would say. And people would be nodding and sipping their coffee and going, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. Because they're basically saying to all these people, they're getting them in rooms. They're getting them in rooms, and they're saying this to them. They're saying, when this all falls apart, and it will, that's what they're saying to them. They're going, when this all falls apart, and it will, you're going to want to live far away from this, and you're going to want to be protected, not by a bunch of buffoons. You're going to want to be protected by the types of things that we're working on. That's what they're telling these people. They go, yes, some of you are going to, you know, flee to Switzerland or whatever, and they'll close the borders, and, you know, and all the bullshit you guys talked about open borders and diversity and all the shit you tweeted, you'll flee and you'll live behind gates, you know? But some of you, you know, you're going to stay in America. You'll stay in America. And when that happens, you're going to want these guys protecting you? You want these people? Do you want these people or do you want what we have? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to want what we have. So this entire economic bet that we've all made on AI is going to be, in my mind, and the minds of other people, it's not only me, it's not, you know, not the one person who said, the one person who said this, but you can look at all of these different incidents and say to yourself, these will be used. And it'll happen when it happens, and it may already be happening, but when it starts happening out there, when they bring the police robot on the Today Show, they're going to use the example of Minnesota. They're going to use these examples, and they're going to say, what we want to avoid is human error. We want to avoid, and then they're going to just start remaking society. And the few rights you have left are completely gone. They'd be completely gone. They'll be completely gone. They're already evaporating. In Trump's Florida, right-wing Florida, freedom, freedom. What'd you say about the mayor? What'd you say about the mayor and his film? I'm here with a badge and a gun. Freedom. Hey, what'd you say? Trump's Florida, by the way. So the left and the right can keep fighting on X and Threads, keep screaming about whatever they're screaming about. But there's a very, very dark reality that's starting to become very obvious if you're smart enough to zoom out. There's a very, very dark reality. And it's going to be across the board. It's going to be across the argument to remove people from many, many things is starting to happen. The attacks on artists, entertainers, the idea that they should live up to some standard that was created by 10 psychopaths on Reddit or whatever, wherever this emanates from, these campaigns against these people, the idea that people are going to be obsolete and that you're not going to need them, that you'll actually be happier with something that was generated by Sam Altman. So the dark reality of what's coming is I don't think a political issue. I think it's an issue that has political elements, but I think it's darker and more important, and I think it's about the survival of humanity. It's about the survival of being an autonomous human being that has the freedoms to speak, to travel, to move, to resist some forms of mass surveillance. I believe all of that to be the case, and I believe that you have bad actors on the left, for sure, that are making these protests spill over into violent riots. And some of those bad actors are federal agents, as we know. Some of them aren't. It's a toxic soup of foreign influence and federal agents and whatever. You have bad actors on the right that want to cancel elections and just basically turn this into Russia. And the oligarchs at the top don't care. That's the scary thing. They actually don't care. So understand the point of what I've been trying to say here. They actually don't care. Whichever way it seems to be going, they're going to survive. They know they're going to survive. That's the most disturbing thing about it all, is that they're still at Mar-a-Lago with the dog mask in the showgirls. They're dancing. They don't care. And they'll go to Kamala's house or Buttigieg's house or Newsom's house. They don't care. Tim Cook will go to Melania's documentary, and then if Kamala Harris gets elected and writes a book, he'll be there too. It doesn't matter. The oligarchs actually don't care who runs this show, whether it's a autocracy or a fake democracy or a bloated oligarchy, whether it looks, feels, smells, and tastes the way it has, or whether it kind of makes a sharp turn into something else. It doesn't really matter to them. What really matters to them is that they have enough money and political clout to survive. And the ones that don't will flee. So we're in another thing now. You can fight on Threads. You can argue on Threads. Fight on X. Do anything you want. But we're in another thing now. And you should fully be aware of that. You should fully be aware that the people at the top don't know which way it's going and don't really care. There's factions. There's groups that think it would look better like this. Some think it'll look better like that. But at the end of the day, none of them give a fuck about you. None of them want you to be able to resist the things that they are planning. And their only concern is generational wealth for themselves, power for themselves and their families. That's why they went with Trump. That's why they went, and they'll go with whoever else is here. And listen, if this, there'll be a fair amount of them that if Trump wants to cancel election, I'm not saying he will, but I'm saying if he does that and uses some violence in the street as a pre, there'll be a fair amount of people that just go with him. Elon will go with him. The Ellisons will go with him. Then there'll be other people that are an opposing faction. It's now a naked power grab at the top. There's absolutely no doubt about what is going on. And it is darker than the political fights you're having about, well, if, you know, there were less immigrants, there'd be higher hourly wages, or maybe more immigrants actually grow the economy because there's other things happening. It's not that those debates are inherently unimportant. It's not that you shouldn't, in a free society, be able to debate things and then, you know, enact laws and change the course of things for the better. It's not about any of that. It's about that if you zoom out, you can kind of see what's happening. There's a bunch of people at the very top that are sitting on the fence, not really knowing where this thing's going to go. Maybe it's always been like that. Now we just really have the means to see it for what it is. Maybe it's always been like that. It probably has. You've probably just had different factions sitting at the top going, what's this thing going to do? Are we going with Hitler? Who knows? Maybe we would. Maybe there were people in Germany going like, there's people in America going like, hey, maybe we'll be a kind of a fascist state. And then there's people that, you know, during the Eisenhower and Truman administration were burrowing in pretty high level communists who were like, maybe we'll go Soviet. Maybe we'll be communists. I don't think it's ever not been the case, but now we have the tools to explicitly see it for what it is. All these people are also out on social media, like begging for our approval and trying to tell jokes. They're trying to be their PR strategy is different. They're out. They're buying the social media app that you wake up and post on. So that's what's happening. That's what's happening, and it's not political. It's apolitical, which makes it even scarier. And I'm not trying to say like, don't vote or it doesn't matter or Trump's good or whatever. You'd think I'm trying to say, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the tech people that were very liberal are now very right wing and they'll be very liberal and they don't care. They don't care. And then the people that came to power criticizing free speech, the lack of free speech on social media are now shutting down free speech on social media. So it's obvious that a lot of this is fake. And it's performative. It's a show. It's a reality show. I mean, it's not necessarily the funniest episode we've done, but it is the truth. It is what's happening. It is what's happening. And in this time, you can really only trust one person. There's one person that I trust in this time. There's only one person I trust. And it's Erica Kirk. Good night.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 30% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 30% off. Terms apply. Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.